My guest this week on the show is Drew Boyd. Drew is someone I've wanted to have on the show for a while now. Drew is a very successful author, keynote speaker, educator, inventor, podcaster, and also LinkedIn learning instructor. And he's doing something that I want to do someday, and that's get back into academia. I did an MBA a number of years ago, but I've always thought about the advantage, both as prestige for my brand, but also personal satisfaction in being a professor, adjunct or full-time. And that's something I'm seriously thinking about how to get there. And luckily, Drew has written a small book on the subject, So You Want to Be a Professor, How to Land Your Dream Job in Academia. But we're going to go back to the beginning. How did Drew go from a missile combat crew commander with the U.S. Air Force into working in marketing and sales, into working for Johnson & Johnson, a pharmaceutical company or medical company, all the way to becoming an author, keynote speaker, and now professor? It's quite an amazing story, and I'm really privileged to share that with you today. This is the Training Business Podcast.
Hey, and welcome to the trainingbusiness.com podcast. Every week, we bring you exciting news and interviews with training business experts and training business entrepreneurs from around the world. Thanks for tuning into today's episode. Here's your host, Mark Garrett Hayes.
Hey, welcome to the show. This is the Training Business Podcast. This is the weekly show for people like you and me. If you're in the business of knowing something and monetizing what you know, perhaps you've got workshops or keynotes, perhaps you're making money from your programs, your IP, you're making money from your expertise, then you're in the right place. Because every Thursday, I've got guests on the show. Sometimes it's just you and I, but most of the time, I'm privileged to have wonderful people on the show. And so we tend to focus on three key things. First of all, their background. How do they get into the area of learning and development and consulting? And this is all about the business of making money from those things. And secondly, what is their business? Whom do they create products and services for? How do they sell those things? And lastly, their brand. What separates them in the marketplace? How do they generate leads and market their business to the kinds of people that hire them and are willing to pay them to do stuff on a long-term basis? And that's what the show's about. If you've not yet subscribed, please click on follow or subscribe to be notified of episodes as they come out every single week. Drew, welcome to the show.
Great to be here.
I've admired your profile from afar for a while, and it's for a bunch of reasons. First of all, you are a LinkedIn learning instructor, quite prolific, in fact, but you have quite the background in terms of your brand. And so I'm intrigued about, first of all, how you got from the US military, which you're quite proud of, justifiably, into working now in academia and also as an author and a course producer. Where does that start, the story?
Okay, so it's a path that when I explain it, our viewers here are going to scratch their head and wonder, what? How did that happen? I started my career in the military in nuclear missiles, if you can believe that, and then left the military and joined an airline. I was with the large U.S. global airline, United Airlines, for 10 years in sales and marketing. And how I went from nuclear missiles to airline, competitive airline Armageddon, so to speak, is a crazy instance in itself. But they wanted to experiment and find somebody that was willing to step into something that they had no idea what they were doing. And that became kind of a theme in my life, to be honest with you, stepping into things that I had no idea. And it lives on today. After United, I got called by a recruiter who said, Drew, we'd like you to come to this company. It's a great company. And I said, well, what company is it? And they said, well, it's Johnson & Johnson. And I thought for a minute and I said, isn't that the company that makes the Pledge furniture cleaner? Well, that's a company in the U.S. called SC Johnson. And the funny part about that is the recruiter's thinking, oh my God, this guy doesn't even know the company. And it turned out that's what they were looking for. They wanted somebody that knew nothing about the company. And by God, I didn't even know the name of this top 10 global Fortune 500 company called Johnson & Johnson. So I was hired and spent 17 years in marketing, sales, sales training, and international development and mergers and acquisitions. Did a lot of work in the space. My final role there was I was head of their a program we created called Marketing Mastery, which was building the competency of our people. I love to teach, and it ended up being a great way to end my career there. I retired and was immediately hired by the University of Cincinnati, where I'm a full professor and teaching a wide variety of courses. So Mark, I've gone from nuclear missile military to airline to Johnson & Johnson, where, by the way, my first job was director of gynecology market development, to full professor. It, you know, not quite a linear career path the way you would plan. Yeah. I think the enduring theme through all that, the common theme, is this willingness to go to the ambiguous, unclear, uncharted territory. It's always been a draw for me, and it's been punctuated throughout my career. That's how it started.
Well, that's unique, I have to say. Nuclear missiles to Johnson & Johnson gynecology, and now full-time academia. So if we fast forward then to the present day, currently you are, as you said, a full-time professor, and you're also helping organizations in a range of areas. So on your LinkedIn profile, you've got, for example, growth marketing, performance marketing, etc. If people bring in Drew Boyd to help them or consult on their needs, what kind of needs do you help out with, and how do you meet that need as a service or product provider?
Great. So the way I would describe it is this. I'm not really a consultant in the traditional sense where I'll be with you for 4 months, 6 months, a year. I'm an interventionist, right? I'm a provocateur. So I like to go in, and my goal, if I do it well, is to motivate people to learn, to change their behavior, to be different than what they were when I came in. And this is the common ask from clients. We need our team to think differently. Can you help us? And so it's thinking about seeing opportunities that they're not seeing now, doing something about it, having the courage internally to push for change, to start to champion things. And so I go in and train, you know, first and foremost is to teach, but motivate to get people to see. And I'm a big believer in tools. I'm a tools guy, and including the kind of tools you would use for woodworking, and you know, I have all kinds of tools. But I'm also a guy with tools in the head. Cognitive tools can boost your performance. And a lot of it is just, you know, hey, here's something you can use today that's going to help you in your job right now. And that's what I do. I go in, I get out, and I leave them hopefully in a better place.
And so the range of organizations which I'm looking at on your website include some pretty huge names, Dow, Lilly, GE, P&G, L'Oreal, B&BD, I've done work with those myself, the Swiss pharmaceuticals company. It reads like a who's who of the Fortune 500. How did you get into those kinds of organizations? Because, you know, that's top of the line stuff. They're really big brands.
I was very fortunate. Years ago, when I was still with Johnson & Johnson, I got a call from a group that needed a speaker on innovation. And they needed a keynote speaker. I had never done it before. They had heard about my reputation in structured creativity, but I was a corporate guy. I was really not a front stage keynoter, big time keynoter at all. And I was a little terrified by it, you know, stage fright, like most people. And it was in, I'll never forget, it was in Amsterdam. It was about 250 people. It was a conference called the Global Forum on Business-Driven Action Learning. And I gave this keynote. My heart was pounding before I walked in the stage. I mean, I was just terrified. I'm going, oh, yay, though I walk through the valley of shadow of the death, I shall fear no evil. I mean, I was praying, right? And so I go in and give this keynote for 2 hours to 250 people, teaching them creative thinking. And at the end of it, these two gentlemen walk up to me and they said, hey, Drew, you should do this for a living, man. You're pretty good at this. And I came alive on stage. The two gentlemen happened to be from Johnson & Johnson, my own company. And it's a huge company with 120,000 employees, something. And they happened to be from the corporate office and said, you know, we'd like you to train all of our executives. And so I did. I started training executives. But Mark, the lucky part of this was that in the audience were consultants who do executive leadership development, people who work with the largest company in the world and the CEOs of those companies. And they went, hey, we need to get Drew in to teach our executives how to think differently. And that was where my career started. And by the way, it lasts today. I was just on a call a little while ago before our conversation with a former colleague at this same conference some 20 years ago, and he's introducing me to his clients right now. So it just spreads word of mouth to big companies typically in any industry where they need to get their leaders and emerging leaders to use their brains differently. That's how it started. Very lucky.
Your brand is drewboyd.com, drewboyd.com. Yeah. Were you ever tempted to build a large organization not centered around you, but really, I guess like many consultancies have, they have a couple of founders in the background, but they have a team of people delivering on their behalf?
No, and I'll tell you why. I have always been a person who has strong strategic ties with a variety of people around the world. So I still stay in touch with the gentleman that hired me for Amsterdam. I consider him a good friend and mentor. I'll see him in May at the same conference, Yuri Boshik in Ottawa. I work closely with another professor in Ann Arbor. I work closely with some folks in Europe, some more folks in the U.S., just different partners and colleagues. It's the company you keep. And honestly, when you start hiring people, it's a totally different game. You've got to deal a lot with things that, honestly, I'm probably not interested in dealing with. I'm an army of one. That said, my goal in life is to get a lot of people in a better spot. And build champions who perpetuate and evangelize the good word, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Be structured in your thinking. Be good in your thinking. Move to the unknown. Take on the challenge. Move yourself forward. What I say is, you know, never let a year go by without at least developing some part of your abilities. Learn at a rate faster than the rate of change. And so to answer your question, no, I never really thought of it that way. Mm. It's more of a virtual impact, collaborations, a lot of collaborations, do it all the time. That's more fun for me, more variety. Every day I live is different.
You also have, if we look at your website for a second, we've got the presentations that you do, live presentations, virtual experiences, you've got books and, obviously resources, video training, et cetera. As I mentioned at the beginning, you're a LinkedIn and learning instructor. So there's a range of income streams there, which I'm sure interests a lot of people listening.
Yeah. And that was part of the plan. It was to be diverse in terms of many small income streams rather than over-reliant on one. And so I have succeeded at that. And that's helpful, because if anyone is off 1 year, another one is up. And like any diversified portfolio, they take the risk out year to year in terms of income. LinkedIn Learning has been a great partnership. I was very fortunate to get a call one day. The book had just come out, our first book, and they said, would you like to teach for LinkedIn? And I didn't know. At the time, it was called lynda.com in its early genesis, if you know that. And I knew Linda Wyman and her husband, Bruce, and I was one of their early instructors in the business library, because they started it with technology like Photoshop. Photoshop was their big killer app. And because I was so versatile in front of a camera and so comfortable, they started asking me to teach many, many different topics, sales topics, marketing topics, innovation topics, how to name a brand, how to, anything they would come up with, because I had the ability to take anything and turn it into a good LinkedIn Learning course. And then, of course, they were purchased by LinkedIn and subsequently purchased by Microsoft. So my influence grew dramatically. I had a neighbor come to me and said, I was just on a flight on Emirates Airlines and I saw your I saw your video of you. You just popped up on the screen. And yeah, it was funny. But it is about multiple little income streams and a variety of sources that gives me a lot of fun and gives me the security.
Something else that I see, which intrigues me, is the SIT or SIT method. And that sounds, without reading too much into it, like your own IP. Systematic inventive thinking, is that correct?
No, not correct. SIT is not protected IP. It is not really my method, by the way. It is a method that was developed by a very smart group of folks from Israel, Jacob Goldenberg, my co-author, being one of them. And I just was fortunate to be one of their early clients, and at one point their largest client when I was with Johnson & Johnson, and became such so familiar with the medicine, such a powerful user of the method, that ultimately when I left J&J, the SIT company became another income source for me. So another strategic partnership where they would hire Drew in as an independent contractor to do projects. So I get hired by them. I get hired by different folks who bring me in for not just innovation training, but other training too, how to persuade people, how to commercialize, how to think about strategy, how to make better decisions, sort of, again, tools inside the box. How do you maximize what you want to do? Be good thinking. How do you really be the best you can be?
And of course, you've co-written a book on the subject with Jacob Goldenberg, whom you've mentioned, called Inside the Box, A Proven System of Creativity for Breakthrough Results. So I guess also that's a nice income stream, having something in print, which generates royalties, but also leads to deeper conversations with prospective clients.
It is. And it's the first of three books that I have now. And it's another stream. And it does, they all sort of mix together. They feed, they cross market. So book promotes LinkedIn Learning courses and vice versa. Keynotes promote LinkedIn Learning book. So they become synergistic. Sum of the parts is greater than, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
And there's, of course, one more thing, which is, again, on your profile, which I saw today and I thought, that's actually quite relevant to me in terms of my ambition. And it's a book on how to get into academia, because I had the occasion a number of years ago, in fact, to do some lecturing. When I use the word lecture, it sounds kind of, sounds academic already, but I didn't really feel I had that credibility, but I would still love to do it at some point, go back in. Not sure what draws me to it, but that is definitely something that quite a few guests on the show have said. They're either adjunct professors or occasionally full-time professors. Yep. How do you get into that? And from a business perspective, why would you want to?
Great. So it's a very common question that I get. people want to do what I do, and teaching is so rewarding in itself, but it also is a springboard for me for so many other things. First of all, it gives you a lot of credibility. It gives you a lot of resources. So I can test new material with students. I can have students on projects. I can do a lot of things. I've got colleagues to draw on. Very, very blessed. And the University of Cincinnati, many people might not know it, but it's 50,000 students, 11 colleges. It's a major tier one research university in the United States. So for a corporate, or and not just corporate, Mark, it could be, you know, you're an engineer, or you're a geologist, or you're a YouTuber, right? You, whatever your career is, you may want to teach for those reasons. First of all, it's money. Secondly, it could be benefits, but it's also network resources, and it pushes you. It keeps me having to learn and update my skills all the time. Here's the quick answer how you do it. And I'm going to look specifically use you as the case studies. Does that sound okay?
Sure.
Okay. First rule is, if you want to teach later in life, start teaching now. You've got to develop your, what I call your front of the room skills. Meaning, a university is not going to hire you unless they know you can immediately walk in and throw the switch and start teaching well. Because they don't give you any training. They're not going to hire you for your good looks and smooth personality and sense of humor. They're going to hire you for your ability to teach and get high ratings. So you've got to go out and do things. Be an adjunct. Teach in high school. Teach corporate sessions. Do any kind of training to perfect your skills. And so the truth is, many senior leaders will say, I'm going to retire and want to teach. It doesn't happen, because they don't know how to teach. They've got great war stories from the boardroom. That's not teaching. Number two is, pick the department, not the college, not the university. You've got to get down to the specific department where you want to teach. So if you're an engineer, you have to say, I want to teach mechanical engineering at this university in Madrid, or that college in San Jose, California. Get it down to the department. The department has a chair, department chair, and faculty, some number of faculty.
Hmm.
You have to be able to walk in and say, I looked at all your courses. I can teach these ones for you if needed. I'm qualified. And I can bring you these new courses, which your competitors are training, but you're not. I can bring new material to you. So if you're an outstanding teacher and you can teach existing coursework and you can bring potential of new coursework, you're going to do what I call jump to the front of the line. There's a long line of people that want to get into academia. How do you jump to the front? You do just what I explained. And this is what I describe in my book. So you want to be a professor. Because people think teaching is a retirement level activity. It's not. It's quite challenging. You know, a lot of work, a lot of grading. I love it, and I'll be doing it for at least another 10 years. And it is not a sedate, layback, retirement type lifestyle. It's a very rewarding, but that's the biggest myth there is about teaching.
Yes, my mother was a teacher. Both my grandfathers were teachers. And okay. I think that's something that is in the blood. So there's an itch there to be scratched. I think a lot of people might be rewarded with some kind of chair as a nod to their, let's say, what they've done for the business world. But you're a full professor. That's a different thing completely. It's not some kind of thing that you're given. It's something you've earned. You've produced primary research, I guess. You've contributed to the literature. Do you think it's paid off? I mean, as a slog, it's quite a commitment to become a full-time professor.
Oh yeah. Yeah. For me, it's been great. I can't just rest on my laurels. I'm, for example, right now I'm putting together a course on AI and Marketing. And it's going to be a detailed course on all the key AI tools out there, how to apply them at every step of the marketing continuum. I don't know what I'm talking about yet. You know, I'm a few months away. I better figure it out. You know what I mean, Mark? But so every night I'm building this material, and I'm actually starting to give keynotes on it, on AI. And I don't come at it from a technical point of view. That's kind of my life, though. You know, we talked about, I consider myself a translator. What does that mean? I translate the complex, technical, theoretical to the practical, understandable for the corporate learner. Because corporate people, God love them, it is tough slogging in the corporate world. And they've got to produce and they've got to keep on top of things. They have so many demands. Their cognitive bandwidth is just by definition small. They're not going to invest the time to learn some new theoretical process. They're just not going to do it. So that's me. I fill their cup with enough for them to get by today. And I know what they're capable of. And when their cup runneth over, I need to stop. I'm the translator. And I'm doing that now with AI and getting everybody in the game. Everybody's got to get in the game. There's no doubt about it. But they'll need a translator like me that can show them what to do from a non-technical point of view to make it real today.
I can see that being relatable or required by everyone, because AI is now just such a fast-moving concept. The number of tools are just morphing overnight. There's you watch a video on YouTube, and this thing no one thought was possible is now possible, and it also makes this thing easier. And you just think, how does anyone actually take a snapshot at this moment in time? Because there's just so much to learn. It's not like a particular, let's say, teaching law, which is, of course, more or less fixed. AI is literally just fluid. It's just constantly evolving.
It is. It's. But what I tell people, don't worry about that. We've all been down this road before. If you want to talk AI for a minute, I think everybody thinks AI is this new thing I've got to learn. Not really. It's been around for 70 years. And by the way, you've had to adopt technology before. Get over it. You know, you got that new VCR in your house back in the day when there were video cassette recorders. You had to learn how to program it. You had to learn how to use Microsoft Word. You had to learn how to use a new microwave oven. There's a curve, like many other forms of technology. Just get on this one. Go as high as you want to take it. Look at it, nothing more than that. AI is just it's like your sidekick that you need to learn how to have a conversation with. It's your smart little nephew who's a genius, and nephew or niece, that you're going to learn how to dialogue with, and they're going to help you do whatever it is you want to do. And I try to help people take that first step, the first drink of the Kool-Aid, so to speak.
Finally then, Drew, if I said to you, what differentiates your brand from the competition, what would you say? What does Drew Boyd stand for, and who does that need to mean something to?
Yeah, the battle cry is thinking inside the box. That word alone provokes people to what does that really mean? And it draws people. I stay true to that mantra. And it is all about how you move forward by good thinking and the set of tools that you use to enable better thinking and success. So that's what I stick with. It's taken a while to evolve to where it's very crystal clear now. I don't deviate from that. Enjoying life and getting on some new thing every day. Never going to stop.
Well, you've got 44,400 followers right now on LinkedIn. So obviously you've quite a few things to say still. It's been a pleasure, Drew. Where can people find out more about you? You've mentioned a couple of resources.
So they certainly can go to drewboyd.com. They can find me at the University of Cincinnati. I think a good place too is LinkedIn. This is always a good place to start. Check out my courses there. And feel free to connect. I'd love to connect and hear from people from any corner of the world. I'm always happy to collaborate.
Drew, thank you so much for being my guest today on the show.
Thanks, Mark.
Huge thanks to Drew for being my guest this week on the show. And you can find out more about Drew by visiting his website. You can find Drew over at drewboy.com. And of course, visit his LinkedIn profile. And you'll find a couple of his books on Amazon and his courses on LinkedIn. And if you're lucky enough to be at the University of Cincinnati, you'll also hear Drew lecture on marketing innovation. And he's mentioned a couple of courses which he's bringing out this year. And so you can stay tuned for those too. All episodes of the podcast are over on trainingbusiness.com. All the links mentioned today by Drew and me will be on Drew's episode page, again, over at trainingbusiness.com. There is a fresh episode next week waiting for you. It's lined up, it's edited, ready to go, but you'll hear it next Thursday. So if you've not yet subscribed, please click on subscribe or follow now to be notified of episodes. Until next week, look after yourself and thanks for listening. Bye for now.
Once more for listening to this episode of the trainingbusiness.com podcast. See you next time.